So our particular focus has been on the righteousness and the justice of God that was fully satisfied in His Son Jesus Christ. And so a lot of what we want to share today will continue in that theme. Remember the song that we sang now about, just for instance, the blood of Christ making all things right. What is the justice of God? He's making right that which sin brought into this world and through His Son Jesus. So there's a lot that we are busy learning now about the righteousness and justice of God. So turn with me to Romans chapter 1. It's a scripture that we've been using quite a lot as we stay in the book of Romans. There's a lot there that the scriptures that you can use. But I'm going to read the first few verses, and then we go to verse 16 and 17. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Remember, the gospel is God's good news. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets. So it's not something new. It's always been the reality of this is what's going to take place in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. And we looked at that a few Sundays back by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Just that so far. Notice as we spent time some time back that the resurrection really is the Father saying, my Son is fully divine. He is my Son. He is the righteous Son of God. And so it was that declaration that was taking place in the resurrection. But notice here that the risen Christ, alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, glorified, is the one who now commissions Paul and them to go out and spread the gospel. The risen Savior, continually releasing grace to be able to minister. So that's crucial because, yeah, grace is released for us to be able to go and proclaim and to minister and to do whatever God has called us to do. So that'll play a big role as we continue. And then we come here to verse 16, where Paul is speaking about the fact that he's obligated both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, to the wise, to the foolish. And this is why he's eager to preach the gospel also to them in Rome. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So as we've been spending quite a bit of time in these particular scriptures, again, just to stop at a word, and I hope you'll be encouraged to focus on the words and not just the sentence. I hope you'll be encouraged to begin to look, why is this particular word in the sentence? Because a word opens up so much, and it's that kind of you and I going deeper and getting revelation of what God is busy saying to us. So here I just want to focus on a word over here. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. For salvation for everyone who believes. So this good news is something profound because there's a power of God that is specifically being released for people to be saved. It's a gospel concerning his son, who in his human flesh was a descendant of David. Important. The angel comes to Mary, or to Joseph, and says, Joseph, you're going to call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The gospel, this incredible power of God, is so powerful that it saves us from our sins. What is the wages of sin? Is death. Okay, so now let's stop over there. Have you ever considered, if you looked at the throughout Scripture, the reality of the connection between sin and death? Have you ever asked the question, why do people die? See, this is an opening for many folk that come to you and I that say, you know, someone died. Now you'll be able to say, what do you think about death? See, and this, what I want to share, will be a very powerful opportunity to be able to hear what they think about death. Why do people die? And then you can share what you know about death, what you think about death and why people die. So it opens up an amazing gospel time to share the good news of God. Death was never part of God's perfect creation. Adam and Eve, when God created Adam and Eve, they were never going to die. The whole of creation was not going to be affected by death. Death is God's punishment for sin. If you eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you will surely die. It's part of God's justice over sin. It's part of God's punishment for sin. Now that's crucial, because it was never part of God's perfect creation for mankind. Death only came into this world because that's God's punishment, God's judgment for disobedience. Romans 5 verse 12, one man sinned and death came to all mankind. Because of one man's disobedience, all men have sinned and therefore death has come to all mankind. But then there's the gift of Christ, the gift of righteousness that overrides it. That's the justice of God on the cross in dealing with that verdict, that justice concerning the penalty of sin. So here we have an amazing insight when you look at Adam to the time of Noah, where you see the gradual increase of sin, 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 and then there's a flood. How many years did they live? Plus minus 900 years old was sort of like the norm kind of thing. Imagine your life insurance premiums, eh? Yeah, they were traumatic, killing, eh? After the flood, from the time when after the flood with Noah's family onwards there, what took place? Suddenly the lifespan decreased. And all the time you see as sin and wickedness is increasing, you start to see more and more and more how from the Garden of Eden, where death was not a reality, that's God's punishment for disobedience, the wages of sin is death. That's the law of sin and death that God proclaimed. That's been established. You can't take that away. There has to be another law that has to come into place to override that, the new covenant, as we look at. So now you start to see from the time of Abraham, from the time of Noah onwards over there to the time of Abraham, you start to see the ages coming down, 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 down from 600 to 400, and suddenly the average from the time of Abraham to the time of David, 120 years. And then from the time of David onwards, 70 to 80 years old is the average lifespan, as sin increases all the time. So when someone comes and they ask, so-and-so has died, you know that that death is the evidence that man is a sinner, is a sinful man. It's the evidence of God's justice concerning the original sin of disobedience. No escaping of that. So you and I see on a daily basis that death is because Adam disobeyed, and that's God's punishment for disobedience. So the good news now starts to come in, because now God begins to share, let me give you the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. So when someone comes to you and say, oh, I'm going to a funeral, or someone has died, you can then begin to say, but why do you think people die? What's your thoughts on death? And then you can then share, okay, because in the garden there was a tree and man disobeyed God. Adam, see, sin is disobedience, sin is lawlessness. Adam fell short of the glory of God because he disobeyed God's command. There was a command that he disobeyed. He fell. And then you can share the whole incredible journey of God's incredible plan to bring in his son Jesus, who was not a descendant of Adam. He did not have that fallen nature, but God in the flesh. And you can share the reality that now Jesus Christ does not fall under that law of the wages of sin is death, because he was not born of Adam. And you can start to share the reality that now he's come, he's God in the flesh, and he is God's son. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And now you can start to share that he is the one now that overrides the reality of that law of sin and death that we read in Romans chapter 8 verse 2. Now you start to see there's a new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that Jesus starts to bring into place. So there's a many, many scriptures that start to speak about this. One of the words for salvation, we know zozo, wholeness, etc. But it's an amazing picture we see there, where God himself comes to rescue us from the danger that we're in and brings us into his safety. And it's that kind of concept that we see taking place with God so loved the world that he gave his only one and begotten son. So here we have something. So in Romans, let's just carry on in Romans chapter 4. And we get an amazing insight here of this righteousness that God has revealed in the good news in the gospel concerning his son Jesus Christ. And so we know, as we've been speaking many, many times, and as we all know this very well, that Christ is the righteous one. And we know he, the only one that did not fall short of the glory of God. So we know that. We know that the sinful mind cannot grasp the things of the Spirit. We know it's foolishness. So we know that as something is needed, we know that it can only be God himself that can release his power to be able to make this incredible foolishness a reality to a person. See, you know, you and I know that as you and I share this incredible gospel of God, you and I know that it's a power of God that's at work to open this up. It's a miracle of being born again. It's not of the flesh. It's a spirit of God giving life to a person's spirit. So we can have that confidence. We want to go in this place of faith when we share the gospel, not in, I wonder if God's going to, you know, that kind of, I'm ashamed of the gospel, but rather I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And so that's what we're wanting to get established within us, so that we are bold in sharing the gospel, knowing that it's the power of God at work. We know that in our context, when we speak about sacrifice, most of the whiteys, well, what are you talking about? Kind of stuff. Okay? What we know is we can communicate the reality of sacrifice and we use the Old Testament. We know that the power of God is at work in opening up this foolishness from man's side and making it so real to them that God birthed in them a faith. We know that as God shares His word to us, we know that it's only God Himself that births this faith in a person. You can't do it yourself. It's a work of God. That's the reality. This is the reality of this whole spiritual, incredible activity of God in our lives. So these things we all know, and we're growing in the confidence of that. And so we notice here that when we start to speak about Christ being the only one that was not born of Adam, but He's from the Father, conceived by the Holy Spirit, He is the only one that did not have that powerful sin working in Him. And therefore, for Christ, there's no such thing as the wages of sin is death. So we know that Christ cannot die because He's not a sinner. So we start to know, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son. We start to realize in John, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, where we start to see there, this is love, God giving His Son to die in our place. So now we're starting to appreciate the reality of death is a consequence of our disobedience, and there's no ways I'm going to escape death. There's no ways I'm going to try and live forever and ever. Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of their sin of unbelief. Sometimes we look at all the fruit, the results of sin. We see what's taking place. But all of those results is a consequence of not believing in Christ Jesus. Because in believing in Christ Jesus, the power of sin gets broken. So there's no more of those deeds. So it's unbelief. And this is why when we're dealing with someone, we're not dealing with all their faults. We're not pointing out all their faults. We're focusing on sharing the good news of God, because God births faith so that they can believe in God and then experience something taking place within them. Let's have a look what takes place. So now that just all of us, just say for instance, we've now received this incredible gospel story. We've received Christ Jesus, and we have been now credited as righteous. So God has given us the gift of His Son's righteousness. He's given it to you and I as a gift. So we have received that gift, and that's our reality. And then He starts to speak about something very profound here. And He goes in verse 16, under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after He was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that He had by faith while He was still uncircumcised. So here we have something in the original that says over here that circumcision that Abraham received was to confirm that God had declared him righteous. Okay. How do you and I know that we have received the gift of righteousness today? Because we have been circumcised by the Holy Spirit. If you and I know that the power of sin has been broken, you know that you have received the gift of righteousness, because the Holy Spirit is that seal, it's that confirmation within us that we have received that gift. Just like Abraham, that circumcision in the flesh was God's confirmation, you are my righteous ones. Now, if we see there in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I think it is there, we see over there, Colossians 2, verse 11, Romans 2, verse 29, we see over there that now we've been circumcised, not by the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. The removal of that sinful nature, that power is broken. So So that's fascinating, because you're in Romans chapter 8, and you start to understand more and more. There's a word there that says that in Christ Jesus there is no more condemnation for. Why was such a powerful word, for the law of the Spirit of life? Because that word for is the evidence that there's no more condemnation. The law of the Spirit of life is now at work within us. No longer the law of sin and death. See, these words are very important to just begin to realize, for, it's not just for. What does for mean? See, it's speaking about the evidence of being in a place where there's no more condemnation. So when we start to realize and we start to see God, before that's who I used to be, today this is now what's taking place. I see such an incredible evidence of being circumcised by the Holy Spirit, because I no longer am controlled, I'm no longer a slave to who I used to be. I'm finding in tremendous freedom on a yearly basis. God, I've got the gift of righteousness. I've received it. Thank you. So now we're starting to celebrate the gift of righteousness. And as we celebrate the gift of righteousness, something profound takes place. Let's have a look. Here we notice here, in Romans 4, it was not through the law Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Notice that. The promises of God that you and I now are able to receive comes because we have the gift of righteousness. It comes through the righteousness that now we start to receive what we believe in. That for me was a moment in my life when I look at a town. And we can try all kinds of things. I look at a nation. But I understand that Jesus said to the Father, Father, you asked me to ask you for the nation as inheritance. And I ask you. So it's Christ's righteousness that enables you and I to receive the promise for our families, for our lives, and for our communities, for our towns, whatever it may be. It's His righteousness that you and I have received as a gift. That's why it's not our own kind of achievements. All the time, God, you've given us a gift of righteousness, and because of the righteousness that we've received, now your promises are able to come through because of your righteousness. The righteous will walk in faith. They will live by faith. So it opens up an incredible reality for you and I in understanding this, the most incredible gift of righteousness that God has given to you and I. So now that we've received the gift of righteousness, we read over there in Romans chapter 5, we read there in Romans chapter 6, we read there in Romans chapter 8, that now that we've received this gift of Christ's righteousness, what takes place? We have received life. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 quickly. In Romans 8, I think it's verse, was it 10, I have to recall. Yeah. Let me go to verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. How do you know that you have received the gift of righteousness? You know because your spirit is alive. You know because your spirit is able to relate to God who is spirit. You know because you can have communion, you can have fellowship with God. You know that you've received the incredible gift of righteousness. You know because you've received the gift of righteousness, what do you have? You have life. So here again we see where the wages of sin is death. Now as you and I have received Christ Jesus, all of a sudden, now there's that new law, and that wages of sin is death is no longer our reality. We live in the reality of this new law of the life of the Spirit that is in Christ Jesus. That's our law that we operate in. So you can tell someone that when you ask him, why do you think people die? You can not be ashamed. You can tell them why people die. You can tell them that every funeral service that you and I go to, that's the evidence that man disobeyed God, and this death is the evidence of God's judgment. It's his punishment over sin. You can say to them, but that's not the end. You see, you can tell them, no, but that's a reality of the human that does not believe. But for us who believe, it's not our reality. The body is there, but there is a new redemptive body that we read in Romans 8 that we're still going to receive. But we can say, but their spirit is alive. Because the Holy Spirit gave life to their spirit, and they received the gift of Christ's incredible righteousness. And because of Christ's righteousness, the Spirit of God imparted life to them, and they are alive. See, that's the living hope that you and I have. So this is just one part of the gospel that you might want to use next time someone comes and says to you, so-and-so has died. And you can maybe use that as an opportunity to start to open up a conversation with them and see what they think about death. And then start to share what you think about death and open it up for them. And as you share what you think about death, you're sharing what God says about death, and the power of God is at work. See, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, as I said, will convict them of will prove to them what sin is all about, and the sin of unbelief. And will also prove to them and convict them and open up the reality of righteousness. Why? Because Christ is raised from the dead. So as we speak about righteousness, you know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to them, revealing to them that there's death is a reality of God's punishment. Christ was raised from the dead, so Christ has overcome that. He paid the price so that we can live. And you can open up so many scriptures over there in sharing the gospel. He's wanting us to be focused in sharing the gospel. It's easy to, what can I say, you don't want to offend people. And it's easy to try and present the gospel by all roundabout way there and never touching the real truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. And he's wanting us to not be ashamed to be able to say, here, very briefly, this is why people die, but this is God's good news. And you can begin to share with them the reality of what Christ did, the righteous one who is not of Adam, but of God the Father. And you can share what he did on our behalf when he took our sin. Isaiah 53, you can open up Isaiah 53, where he took our sin and God's punishment came upon him. And that, but a righteous cannot see decay, and he's raised from the dead to be able to say, hey, sin and the wage of the sin, you're no longer the victorious one in mankind. Man now has a way to be released from that law of sin and death. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can share them the gospel. Okay. Any questions there that you want to just clear up or anything like that? Someone asked a question the other day or some time back. They were at a conference, and a lot of people, and the person that was presenting just asked this question: when last in your church did you hear about the centrality of the cross of Jesus Christ? And I think there were three people that raised their hand. Others have don't hear about it, but it's everything else. And that, but the cross is the power of God for salvation, and we focus on that. So that's for me is such a mandate right now for us. So as we have communion, you might want to just say, God, thank you for the gift of righteousness. And you might want to just thank you. In that agreement, I don't know about you, but I do this often. Because I'm learning more and more how to not only live from my spirit for a short period of time, but to try and live a whole day from my spirit, born-again spirit. Because as you know, it's easy to quickly go back into sort of the flesh kind of thing. And every time I find sort of the flesh wanting to have a voice, I just simply stop and I just say, thank you, Father, you've given me your righteousness as a gift. And because of righteousness, Holy Spirit, you came and you in me. And I thank you for your life. And the moment I just agree with that, suddenly the peace, the freedom just floods me. And we carry on over there. A simple agreement by faith in truth. And you just find the breakthrough taking place. The moment you may be tempted to go into a way there that you know, oh, that's I'm enslaved to that. The moment God, wow, this righteousness is a gift you've given to me. Thank you for it. And because of that, Holy Spirit, you're in me, your powerful life. You find straight away, you find a freedom taking place. In Romans 8, it's so there's so much there in Romans 8. It is so big, and it speaks about over there that the mind that is focused, and notice the word there, on the things of the Holy Spirit. On the things of the Holy Spirit. What are the things of the Holy Spirit? Do some research there. Good journey. What takes place? The mind comes to a place of peace and rest. Because now there's the law of the Spirit. You're connected to the law of the Spirit working within you. And that law of sin and death in Christ, death, where is your sting? So we celebrate. You got the gift of righteousness. Death has no sting. You're no longer in that category of the wages of sin and death, because in Christ there's no more condemnation for those who believe. Amen. Let's celebrate. Father, thank you this morning again that we can, as we have the communion, it's a celebration of your righteousness that you've given to us. Jesus, we're celebrating that incredible love that you left your position, you left heaven, and you came as a man. You took on the body, you took on the form of a human to be able to undo what the first human did in disobeying God. What justice has taken place through you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for releasing your punishment on your Son Jesus instead of us. Thank you, Jesus, for taking upon yourself the wrath of God so that we, by putting our faith in you, because of you not being a sinner, you had to be raised from the dead, because that's just the reality. You were not caught in the wages of sinner's death. But you became a sin offering. And we thank you for your resurrection, Jesus. We thank you that because you've been raised from the dead, we too have life. And we thank you for that. We died with you, but we've also been raised with you. What a divine connection that as we eat this morning and we're celebrating what you've done, I'm asking, Father, that the connection, the identification of dying with you and being raised with you in this new life, this incredible eternal life, becomes so, so real. I ask, Father, that for any believer, Lord God, that comes into our lives throughout this week, that is doubting and is afraid of death, Father, I'm asking that we will be so connected into the resurrection of your Son and the gift of righteousness that we have received, that we can share with them, that they do not have to doubt and fear death, but Lord God, they can embrace and say, yes, Lord, there's so much more waiting, that there's a kingdom vision, there's a future vision of the glory that awaits for every believer. But in the same time, Father, show us today, show us this week the people that you are calling that need salvation, that did not yet have the revelation of this, that we can share. And Lord, what a joy that as we share, thank you for the power, your power that will be released as we just open our mouth and start to communicate. Thank you for the power of yours, almighty power for salvation. And we thank you. So Jesus, thank you for what you've done. What a joy as you walk amongst us and we can just sit with you and we just, you celebrating our lives. We're celebrating you, Lord. What a privilege, Lord Jesus, to really value what you have done. It's no longer just a ritual. But Lord, this is real for us. And we thank you that we can sit with you and just thank you for what you have done for us. And we give you that praise and glory. Our lives belong to you, Lord, and we want to thank you for this privilege. Amen.